وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيكم، جزاكم الله خيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Allah is also showing this lesson that Allah will preserve His deen no matter whoever tries to stop it, no matter how much Abu Jahl tried and Abu Lahab tried, but they could do nothing because from their own homes Allah was giving people hidayat. Abu Jahl's brothers got hidayat despite them being tortured for Allah's deen. But it seems Al-Arqam at first, for wise reasons, under the mashura and the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would attend to hear what was going on in the Meccan dialogues and discussions and in their parliaments against Islam. What were their sinister plans? And he would then bring the information to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was in the early efforts and he was camouflaging his deen until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to expose it. And it seems that all this was happening in the early stages. In the first 3 years, da'wat was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on an individual basis. Then in the early fourth year after nubuwah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by Allah, fasda' bima tu'mar wa a'rid 'anil mushrikeen. Now openly give da'wat. Suda' means to rupture, meaning express the truth to people openly, clearly. And sada'a also means to crack glass, meaning make it loud and clear, make the truth loud and clear, expressing to humanity the oneness, the greatness, the glory, the grandeur, the might, the power of Allah, and explain that idolatry and idol worship is totally wrong. How can one worship what was made by creation and denounce the being who made all of us and who is taking care of us and who is protecting us, providing for us? We turn away from He who does everything for us, and then we show loyalty and worship and devotion to what we made with our very hands. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told now to do this da'wat openly, but all this was happening from the home. The center was Arqam radiallahu anhu's house, which was still camouflaged, and this carried on until the first 40 people had embraced Islam, and only they knew where this place was. Even though Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving da'wat openly now, but the center and where sahaba were learning and where ta'lim and ta'allum was taking place, no one knew except the Muslims. That's why when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave da'wat openly, and the other report expresses it that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being tortured and interrogated, to draw their attention to himself, he said, "Ataqtuluna rajulan ay yaqula rabbi Allah wa qad ja'akum bil bayyinati min rabbi." Do you kill a man? Do you harm a man because he says, "My Allah, my Rabb is Allah," and he's brought you proof to prove the statement of his? He's brought proof for it and still you want to do this? What is wrong with you? Everyone pounced on Abu Bakr. So one incident, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu drew the attention to him. The other is, he was openly giving da'wat. And remember, the first sahabi to openly give da'wat was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course. And the first sahabi to recite the Qur'an al-Kareem openly to the kuffar and the mushrikeen was none other than Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He recited in front of all the mushrikeen by the Ka'bah, الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Allah give us also tawfiq to have this jazbah and this worry and this love to make humanity hear the message of Islam and to hear the beauty of the Quran. They pounced on Abu Bakr, they tortured him, they hurt him. He was so badly wounded that his face was unrecognizable. Even his nose could not be recognized on his face, the way his face was swelled up. And his hair was falling. He was unconscious. His family, Banu Taym, felt that he had passed on. They were already preparing to take revenge. And then Hazrat Abu Bakr regains consciousness. His mother is there crying by him, Salma radiallahu anha, Ummul Khair. And she wasn't a Muslim at the time, but she's devoted to serving her child, her love, subhanallah, Hazrat Abu Bakr's mother's love. And then he asks his mother, "Please tell me, Ma, How is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then she gets upset because she didn't know at the time, she wasn't a Muslim, the value of this question and what it meant to Abu Bakr. She now is looking at her child suffering like this and he's still asking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for whom he took so much of torture. And then he says to her, Ma, if you don't get me information, I'm not going to do anything more. I'm not going to eat or drink. She says, but how will I know anything about your friend? Ma, go ask Fatima Ummu Jamil. That's Hazrat Umar's sister. Hazrat Umar wasn't a Muslim. His sister at the time, his sister was among the earliest Muslimat, Sahabiyat. She comes there, worried about her child. So she says to Fatima, tell me, where is your companion? What can you tell me about your companion? At that time it was the early Meccan stage. She has to pretend as though she doesn't know. What are you talking about? But then Ummul Khair expressed that, and she showed her worry and emotion about her child's state. So Fatima then came with her to see. She's also worried about Abu Bakr. Did Abu Bakr get hurt? So she rushes to see. Hazrat Abu Bakr sees Fatima bintul Khattab and asks, how is Allah's Nabi? Where is Allah's Nabi? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Fatima with her eyes indicates to Salma Ummul Khair, Hazrat Abu Bakr says, you don't worry. You can speak openly in front of her, meaning expressing that his mother is too special. She won't divulge or expose anything. Then Hazrat Fatima spoke. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr still said, take me to Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where was Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? At the place he spent the most amount of time. That's why, subhanallah, the pious and our righteous ulama write that this is in the early stages among the most mubarak places in Makkah Mukarramah. Later on, when everything was quiet, because the Sahaba would only go there camouflaged. They then carry the two of them, Hazrat Abu Bakr, and when they go to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was awaiting and also looking forward to see Abu Bakr and vice versa. And Hazrat Abu Bakr saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he felt better. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so happy to see Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as he was discussing and showing care for Abu Bakr and asking him about his condition, in that Hazrat Abu Bakr said, oh Allah's Nabi, give my mother dawat and dua. Make dua for her hidayat, and invite her to Islam. There and then, that was the worry and the concern of Abu Bakr. So where was the center of dawat and hidayat? It was Darul Arqam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave her dua and gave her dawat. This is the works of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba from day one. Dawat, dua. Never forget this. Dawat, dua. Dawat, dua. Dawat, dua. Dua at night, beg Allah for the guidance of humanity. Dua, that's dua. And dawat, tell humanity about Allah. Dawat, tell humanity about the greatness of Allah. Dua, beg Allah to guide humanity. This is the works of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from day one. But where this was happening from? Allahu Akbar, Darul Arqam. Hazrat Umar also, and look at most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, everyone at some time or the other would meet up at Darul Arqam. Even finally when they went to be Muslim, they taken to Darul Arqam. That was where the Shahada was recited. What about your home and my home? Are there people coming there to embrace Islam? Can we start with at least the helpers in our home, inviting them to Islam? What a barakah for the home, for people to get saved from Jahannam and become Jannat Wale from our homes. What a barakah for our homes if ikram of people is made in our homes, hidayat is spread from our homes. What a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar was so upset because he was very confused about what's going on in Makkah. He was inspired by the Muslims. One day Layla sees him, and Hazrat Umar sees Layla radiallahu anha, binti Abi Hathma, packing. And he had tortured them prior. They hail from the same family. And on this occasion, Hazrat Umar was softened. So he asked her, why are you unpacking? She said, we had enough of people like you, Umar. You are not torturing us, not allowing us to practice our deen. We are going. Hazrat Umar was softened. He says, may Allah take you nicely and safely. When her husband returned, she said this to her husband. Her husband said, that do you think he'll embrace? She said, I really I'm optimistic. He said, even if the donkey of Khattab has to recite the kalima, Umar would never. And subhanAllah, look how Allah brings such people to Allah's deen. One night Hazrat Umar couldn't go home for some reason. Allah puts khair. He comes by the Kaaba and he hears and sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing tahajjud. And he hides in the curtain of the Kaaba. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites and was reciting, Al-haqqatu mal-haqqah. What an amazing chapter of the Qur'an al-Kareem in the 29th juz of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And when the Qur'an was having such a profound effect on Hazrat Umar, what an impact it was having on him. And then he's trying to analyze, what can this be? Is it poetry? Then the verse comes in the chapter, وَمَا بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Little do you believe. This is not the words of a poet. Hazrat Umar then says to himself, I'm just thinking, could this be poetry? And the Quran responds to me. Can this be magic or fortune telling? And then the verse comes, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. No, are these the words of a fortune teller? Little do you take lesson. Then he's thinking, Ya Allah, this Quran is responding to me. What is it then? The next verse expresses those sentiments. What is this? تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ فَمَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ عَنْهُ حَاجِزِينَ وَإِنَّهُ لَتَذْكِرَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ وَإِنَّ لنعلم أن منكم مكذبين وإنه لحسرة على الكافرين وإنه لحق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم. You check up the meanings of the verses, subhanAllah. Hazrat Umar says, the seeds of Islam were permeated into my heart. So it takes time for a person to understand. Just today, I met a man coming to Darul Ulum for some rodent spray. So in that, I invited him for some tea and roti. And he came and we had a lovely casual discussion, explaining to him the beauty of Islam and the mention of Isa alayhi salam in the Quran and the right of the people of Palestine. Simple things. At the end, he was so shocked. He said, you know, I never understood it this way. And when I explained to him how the changes came into Christianity through Paul, what was Christianity in following Isa alayhi salam, and then Paul came about 50 years later that spoke of redemption and justifying one's wrong. A person then believes through Paul that whatever wrong you do is justified because Jesus died for your sins. But then I asked him, but in the Bible, when Jesus was asked by the good teacher, by the rich ruler, good master, good teacher, what do I do to acquire eternal life, meaning success? He didn't say, believe that I died for your sins or believe in my blood. That was the time to explain the fundamental of the faith. He said, uphold the commandments. And simple verses like this, where Isa alayhi salam clearly said to them, when he was asked about the fundamentals, he said, worship the Lord thy God and serve him only. So I asked him simple questions about Ibrahim alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam. Did they worship one God directly or did they pray to Christ? And like this, a simple discussion at the end, he says, you know, I never knew these things. And he was quite inspired. It takes time, but we have to give people that time with ikram, with akhlaq, with wisdom, with kindness. And where we are stuck, ask our ulama, our imams of the masjids. They will help us. But like that, we'll also be sharing Allah's deen. Take a person home, make for him tea, make him ikram. Invite your imam also to come and join the discussion. And like that, we will help each other in sharing the truth to one individual.